Welcome back to the Roundtable. I'm Sarah LeDuc. Actor, writer, producer, and comedian Ilana Glazer is on the road with Ilana Glazer Live, a new stand-up tour that will bring her to Albany, New York on June 15th, and to the Academy of Music in Northampton and Massmocha in North Adams, both in Massachusetts, in August. Glazer is the co-creator and co-star of Broad City, which was a web series before it was a hit Comedy Central show that I love. In it, she and Abby Jacobson played versions of themselves having adventures around New York City as broke mega besties.
Dude, what is all of this?
Welcome to SheWork. We are officially open for shizness.
What is SheWork?
SheWork is an inclusive work environment that caters to smokers.
I see a bunch of, no offense, trash furniture and two people smoking cigarettes.
Walk with me. So, SheWork uses the urban landscape for a fast-paced workspace with no boundaries.
Huh.
If parkour is using the city as your gym, SheWork is using the city as your office.
So, correct me if I'm wrong, people are paying you to use the free public charging station?
So what? All the great male entrepreneurs do it, okay? They take something that already exists, claim it was their idea, throw in some fancy furniture, and charge double for it.
For letting people sit on your junk and smoke?
Exactly.
Wait, Ilana, hold on. I'm sorry, smoking cigarettes is disgusting.
Okay, smoking is obs heinous. But who am I to judge a nicotine addiction? I mean, I'm fully addicted to weed.
True.
Since then, Glazer and her Broad City colleagues have developed influential comedic voices in showbiz. Glazer's other credits include the Apple TV Plus series The After Party, Netflix's BoJack Horseman, When You Wish Upon a Pickle, a Sesame Street special, and the 2021 Hulu thriller False Positive, which she starred in, co-wrote, and produced. She is the co-founder of the political conversation and education tool Generator Collective. Once again, Ilana Glazer is coming to the region with her new stand-up tour, and she joins us now. Ilana Glazer, welcome to the Roundtable.
Hi, Sarah. Thank you so much for having me. I'm thrilled to be talking to you.
It's absolutely my pleasure. Are you excited to be heading back out on the road with a new stand-up tour?
I really am. It is such a gift for me to go out on the road and laugh with people. And it's like, it feels, it's just so connective. You know, like these days, I've had a deeper, newer appreciation for that in-person experience because it's once in a lifetime, you know, like every time before every show, I say to myself, this is a once in a lifetime combination of people never to be repeated. It's really wild. And yeah, it's just so much fun. I'm excited to come and make you laugh.
I imagine that you must have missed it a great deal during the pandemic when it was absolutely impossible to perform like this.
I really did miss it so much during that time. But now I have this deep appreciation because I couldn't do it for a couple years. And I'm even grateful for that time because these days getting back on stage is such a treat. And I feel so, it feels new to me. You know, I feel like kind of when I was younger and just starting, there's just this thrill about it that has been so much fun.
What kinds of things are you talking about in your material right now? What has been striking a chord with you and how are you making it funny?
The last time I was on tour was March 2020 and it was struck down by lockdown. I can't believe just having this personally, this marker for time from tour to tour is so crazy. In that time, I've had a kid. And that has really, really turned my life inside out in an awesome way. I'm talking about a lot about that and a lot about becoming a parent and like how much fun it's been. It's really, kind of the, it's weird to still be the same person, but then also be a parent. You know, I still like weed and I'm a parent and it's crazy that doesn't just suddenly change, you know?
Right.
being pregnant was crazy. And what it is like to move through this world as a woman, as a Jewish woman. Yeah, I'm talking about Botox, the Olsen twins, cults, and all in between. You know, I'm also like talking a lot about anxiety in my hour and like building that out still. I did it in the city over Memorial Day weekend in a new order. You know, I was hoping for some fixed, locked script, but I was like talking about it with my manager and she just kind of like released me into realizing that on the road is like where I can play. You know, mm-hmm. I really have this anxiety where I don't want to disappoint, you know, but it's not disappointing to be part of the process, I think, for the audience. So where I was hoping to have this like fixed script and I'm going to like tap dance for y'all. Like I got up in New York and was like looser with it. And it's like, I actually want to keep that sort of open heart and open mind in keeping playing and toying and moving things around and keeping it fluid. Because that is really when things stay alive. And why it feels so good to go on the road, to rely on your audience to tell you what's working or not.
Your child is almost two. How has being a mom changed the way that you approach your work, if it has?
Yeah, so in general, I've gained more agency over my work. And I continue to. I guess I've had clear boundaries around it. And that's made the work itself kind of clearer. I'm having more fun. There's less of this like sort of torturous element. And I'm able to, I think this like constant practice of presence that is like so forced when you're a parent, like, you know, before I had a kid, I was like, I would try to practice being present, but it's so different when there's like this adorable little person talking to you. There's like no choice. I think that's also why like being on stage and doing stand-up has like had this, I've had more capacity to be present because I'm practicing it every day. So I'm actually having more fun in my work and I have clearer boundaries around it. You know, if I'm like leaving her to go do stand up, well, I better go have fun and not, you know, kick myself for bombing on this joke or whatever. You know, it's like, I really actually, I think that practiced presence has made me has bled into my work and I'm just having a lot of fun on stage and even in writing, like rather than like judging it and blocking myself, just like, okay, so whatever, let's just like write some crap, let it flow. And, you know, I'll go back and rewrite as I develop. Being able to be more present has like made me stronger at my work and not think about it so much. I'm much more in my body than in my head these days.
Speaking of writing as it applies to stand-up, how much of your set is pre-written? How much of it do you have ready to go as you're heading out on tour?
Oh my goodness. This is a problem that I have where I mean, the whole thing is written and I really like want to give y'all a really good show, but I'm realizing like, you know, that when I leave pockets for looseness and improv, it's so much more fun. So, I mean, it is like highly written and, I'm like a really, I'm a dedicated student of the practice, but, you know, it's mostly written, but I'm really, pushing myself to leave more space for the unknown.
You did improv before stand-up, correct?
You know, I started improv, sketch, and stand-up all at the same time. I just wanted to be in the scene in New York. In 2006 is when I got into it. And, you know, Broad City took hold and my partnership with Abby Jacobson took hold. So we went with that. And then I re-entered stand-up. But in the beginning, it was like, I just wanted to be here. And the way that the world has changed, it really blows me away. You know, like when I was younger, I thought getting older was this like more personal experience. But as I get older, to see that it actually means being part of the world and seeing things change. What people used to do on stage was so politically incorrect. What I used to do on stage was so politically incorrect. Like things used to be so much naughtier. And that's like, again, like what I've been feeling lately. Like it feels like, you know, we've been like so isolated on our phones the past few years, especially since COVID. It feels so naughty and electric to be together. But yeah, I was just so excited to get into that sort of transgressive space, you know, coming from being a kid at home in the suburbs, just coming to the city. I just wanted to be in the comedy scene, whatever that meant.
We are speaking on June 6th, and last night it was reported that SAG-AFTRA members voted 97.9% in favor of strike authorization. You're, of course, a member of SAG-AFTRA. I know that you voted to authorize the strike. The WGA is also on strike. They've been on strike for weeks now. Could you talk to me about what you're hoping for, what the strikes should accomplish from your perspective?
I have never been so invested and aligned with a labor movement. This is like the most agency I've had yet over my union's striking. And it's really thrilling to see people have the power in action and to remember that like one of the most progressive traits of our country is unions. It's really, really exciting. And the writers' strike, I don't think that the very few men who are in power over this whole situation were expecting this labor movement to have such visibility nationally. Mm-hmm. And that's been such a funny turn, you know, where it's like, well, of course, like America, like Americans are informed, especially since COVID, the disparity of wealth and working conditions is so bleak and so obvious. This is not some behind the scenes organization happening. This is like really visible and connected, intersectional with other industries. So the writer's strike has really been working. It's been garnering attention. It's been moving the needle for the other unions. And what I'm really hoping for, which I think the Directors Guild reached a deal, they got language about not letting artificial intelligence do human work. That's the first and foremost thing that I'm hoping for in the writer's strike and the actor's strike. And like generally, I'm hoping that all the people in the unions can have, in the Writers Guild and Actors Guild, can have a fighting chance to make a living and have meet their minimum to get health insurance. You know, like we live in this employer-based health insurance system, so people need to be employed. I'm really hoping that you know, the minuscule amount of money that it takes to meet the union's needs is met, because I trust the negotiating powers that be that this will provide more jobs and more like basic needs for actors and writers.
I mentioned the members voted 97.9% in favor of a strike, but something like it was less than 50% of members that voted, which is of course a smaller version of what we face in the whole nation. Why do you think that is?
I mean, I actually even think the Actors Guild, the low voter turnout for the Actors Guild is the same as the low voter turnout for America, which is information and communication. I think that, like, you know, social media limits communications about voting. I think if social media boosted it, everybody would be informed. So I think we're like fighting against an algorithm that has always been there, you know, like the misinformation and blocking information has always been a tool to keep the people in power, but I think it even relates to the Actors Guild. You know, it feels like separate, or it maybe feels separate, but it's not, it's a labor union, you know, it's like, that's kind of like what working families across America are at large when voting for like the president, you know?
Speaking of tools and things that could hopefully help close that divide of information in America, you were the co-founder of Generator Collective in 2016. Could you tell us about Generator Collective, please?
Yes. Generator Collective is my advocacy platform. I don't know much about politics. I remain not uneducated, but it's just like the system is made purposely elusive so that average people can't use it for their benefit. And by the way, their benefit is truly to meet basic human needs and the basic human needs of their neighbors. So Generator Collective is a bunch of things. We make digital series that create cheat sheets, localized cheat sheets for the voting booth for the election in 2020 and the midterms and the special election in Georgia in 2020. And we're also a live event series, and we host dance parties where you dance for like a half hour at a time, and then we take little breaks in between to invite elected officials up on stage to create a cheat sheet for the people there for local elections.
So that's really it, is a cheat sheet. We really like to invite any Americans, but specifically Gen Z and millennials, to do minimal civic engagement. You know, like you and I were saying earlier, Sarah, like this world is harrowing. So it's hard to get involved. There's a huge barrier of entry, and that barrier like has to do with, you know, meeting the basic needs of your day to day. So to add on top of that, will you also fix the government, average American? It's hard. So what we try to do is just make it as simple as possible to basically vote in every election.
It's fantastic. I like the taking one thing you can do and helping create this to you know, disseminate the information. It's a beautiful project. I think it's just fantastic. We talked, you know, briefly about Broad City, and that was a show that you co-created. You know, it was your baby with Abby and then everybody else who helped you. When you work on things where you aren't the creator, is that a very different experience? Or when you were filming Broad City, once it was time to film, were you an actor on those days?
It is a really different experience to show up and do one job. And I really enjoy that practice. It's like more of a meditation for me and more about the craft than when I'm wearing many hats. You know, I am just finishing up this movie that I shot last summer, and I wrote it and produced it. I love to do many things at once. You know, I think that is how I'm most comfortable. I'm less comfortable doing one job and focusing on it, but it's a really needed practice for me. And, you know, the after party, I was just so lucky because Chris Miller, the creator and director, and Lord and Miller, the producing team, is like, they're like the gold standard best in the business. So that was just such a gift for that to be something that I could show up and act on. It was so funny too. What I try to do is projects that will hopefully just feel that I can trust the people in charge that much. So that was just a gift. And I just trusted them so much. And my co-stars were such, like comedy, it was like a comedy all-star team. So it was just such a pleasure to do that one.
For my plan to work, I needed Xavier alone. I needed him to trust me.
Hey, Mr. Popular.
Hey, Chelsea.
Hey, Ned.
I'm still married and very fulfilled.
Oof, sounds like it. I just mean we should totally catch up. I could save you a seat next to me at my table.
That's really nice. I already got a seat. Actually, you know, I should probably head over there, but
okay.
It was like really nice talking with you.
You too.
And so like, you know, we did that now.
Yeah.
Let's just make it about tonight, right?
Okay.
All right.
Okay.
Good talk.
All right. I'll see you later, Eugene.
The After Party, I want to say for listeners, is a fantastic Apple TV Plus series. There's a clue element to it in that there's a mystery and a closed house where people are being interrogated, but a different character is interrogated in each episode by a detective played by Tiffany Haddish, and each episode is in an entirely different genre, including a musical or animation, and your episode was a psychological thriller. Do you like that genre?
I do. You know, that was like my movie False Positive was a psychological thriller too, and it was so funny to do. That was like the first thing I shot after False Positive. And to do that, but in the context of comedy, it was like really right for me. It was a nice transition back into hard comedy. I do love that genre. It's like kind of a version of comedy, and it's really fun to perform in. It's like a little campy. And I do. I enjoy it.
What can you tell us? What are you willing to tell us or able to tell us about the new movie that you're finishing up now?
Oh, I'm so excited to bring this movie into the world. What I can say is that it is Pamela Adlon's directorial debut.
Amazing.
My co-star is Michelle Buteau, who I am personally and professionally obsessed with. She is so giving as a person and performer, and that is just bursting off the screen in this movie. Hasan Minhaj is a gem in this movie too. And I wrote it with my friend Josh Rabinowitz, and it's a hard comedy with a lot of heart. And I'm really excited to be returning to this space in film.
Ilana Glazer will be live at the Egg in Albany on June 15th, and she'll be back in the region in August with two shows at the Academy of Music in Northampton, Massachusetts, because one sold out already, and she'll be at Mass Mocha in North Adams, Massachusetts, also in August. For ticket information, you can visit Ilana Glazer Live, and that link will be posted on our website at wamc.org/roundtable. Ilana, I am just an enormous fan and admirer. I am so excited to have gotten to speak with you and just tell you on a Zoom that I think you're marvelous. Thank you so much for your time.
Sarah, thank you so much. And thank you for doing the work that you do. Public radio is so important. And we've been talking about like labor unions and voting. I mean, it's such an important part of the framework of what makes Americans in charge of their own story. So thank you so much for your work. And I really hope to give you some belly laughs this summer.
I have to admit, I have a cis male partner. Just kidding. He's wonderful. I love him. Ooh, love him. Love him. He holds the key to my heart. Delish. But there's something I can't get used to about being married to this person, and that is the word husband. I'm like, hey, nice to meet you. This is my husband. Baby husband. No, he is my husband. I just, no, sorry, nothing. And I'm a wife? What? I don't think so, really? You sure? Husband just sounds like wasp drag coming out of this Jewy mouth.
Once again, Ilana Glazer Live, ilanaglazerlive.com. I'm Sarah LaDuke, and you're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.